My name's Harold Nickel. Welcome to the Collector's Show. For those of you who listened to the show when it was on earlier in the decade, or I guess during even the last decade, welcome back. And for those of you who are new to the show, just welcome in general. We've been off on hiatus, I guess, for around 2 years, and now the program is back. I want to thank my friend Brad Saul at Web Talk Radio for letting me come back and do the Collector's Show. Thank you, Brad. And thanks to everybody at Web Talk Radio for making this transition back to doing the podcast so easy. In the interview segment of the program, we're going to be talking with the man who helped found a really great website and provides a lot of information for collectors who enjoy what are now known as action figures. Daniel Pickett will join us, and he'll have news about his site and more specifically about what is going to be introduced after Comic-Con, what's coming in the Christmas season. He is really an interesting guy. You'll want to stay tuned for that. As always, and even under the old format of the show, we'll begin with news for the week of August the 5th, 2013. And I'll try to mention what the date is as often as possible because I know that most of you, if not every single one of you, is time-shifting the broadcast. So if I give news about auctions or different events, I'll be sure to mention the date. With that in mind, there's an auction, an online auction of Hollywood memorabilia that is perfect for the internet community. It's going to start Wednesday, August the 14th, 2013, at 3 p.m. Pacific time. You're going to want to go to www.icollector.com, and it's Black Sparrow Auctions, one of the nation's premier companies specializing in Hollywood memorabilia and collectibles. They're going to present a large collection of original vintage stills and portraits, that's like photographs, that showcase what they call the enduring magnetism and romance of Hollywood. And again, that's going to be Wednesday, the 14th of August, 2013, 3 p.m. Pacific time. The Hard Rock Cafe is hosting a 12-city tour of rock and roll memorabilia that is going to start out in Dallas, Texas. The theme of the exhibit is Gone Too Soon, and it offers a collection of guitars, love notes, recording contracts, the piece of paper that John Lennon wrote Help on, all of those kinds of things, touring 12 cities at Hard Rock Cafes. It starts out in Dallas, and it starts this week, which is the week of the 5th of August. I got this from the Dallas Observer, but with this and all of the stories that we do in the news, I'll be posting these to the website. And finally, there's a new book that's coming out later this month on Dungeons and Dragons. At least few games in the latter half of the 20th century that were more important than Dungeons and Dragons. And even if you never played D&D, you probably know somebody who has, because the game had a very profound influence on culture. It first came out in 1974, way, way before the internet or any kind of social media, and inspired one of the original nerd subcultures, and it's still played by millions and millions of people. So the name of the book is Of Dice and Men. It's by David Uwalt, and he recalls and recounts the development of Dungeons & Dragons from the game's roots on the battlefields of ancient Europe through the hysteria that linked it to satanic ritual, teen suicide, and all kinds of other craziness back in the late 70s and early 80s. And it would be great, I think, to try to get David Uwalt to come on the show. I'll definitely look into that. That's the news from the world of collecting for the week of August the 5th, 2013. Coming right up, the interview segment of the program, actionfigureinsider.com and Daniel Pickett, right away on the Collector's Show. It's the interview portion of the Collector's Show, and today we are joined by an individual who has never been with us until now. Daniel Julius Marks Pickett is the co-founder of a website called Action Figure Insider. He has been forever interested in toys and news about the toy industry and all different types of pop culture issues that he writes about on what they refer to as AFI. And Daniel, welcome to the Collector Show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right. So when I was putting the interview together, I noticed that you have a nickname, Julius Marx.
Yes.
What's up with that?
So that dates back to probably around when I was in high school or so. And then going into college, I was looking for a screen name for America Online. Remember when we all got those discs in every mailing and magazine that you purchased?
I do. Every newspaper.
Every newspaper, yeah. You could build a house with these things for as many as they sent to you. And I had just done a play where I was Groucho Marx, and had done a lot of research about the Marx Brothers, and Julius Marx is actually Groucho's real given name.
Oh, my gosh.
And so when I was trying to sign up for AOL, I was trying to do something Groucho-based and kept getting things like, you know, Groucho 90210 and that sort of thing, and I didn't want numerals in my screen name. And so I went with his given name, Julius, and it, you know, when I first started writing about toys, I wrote sort of under that pseudonym just because it was the internet and that's what everyone did back then. And there's actually people that sort of know me by that name too. You know, they'll walk up to me at cons and call me Julius. So I respond to both Daniel and Julius. So
I got to tell you that when I was prepping for the interview earlier today, my immediate thought was, I don't think Julius was one of the Marx Brothers, but it turns out he was.
Daddy was.
There you go, man. So let's talk about action figures. I was one of the kids and of the age where I actually owned one of the original G.I. Joes. And I remember I was in the first grade and my friends made fun of me because I played with dolls. So they evolved from dolls for boys into action figures. A lot's happened since then. How did you first get interested in action figures?
Well, I always sort of remember having them around. I was born in the very early 70s, so my earliest toy and action figure memories were of the Mego World's Greatest Superheroes, which were also, you know, if we're really being honest, kind of fell into the doll category. They were 8-inch figures with cloth costumes. Also, Micronauts by Mego. I had a lot of those and really loved those and the, you know, how you could interchange them. And also the Shogun Warriors by Mattel, which were those giant 24-inch robots. And, you know, I just remember playing with those till they broke down to their periodic elements and, you know, just disintegrated into dust.
Yeah.
And then of course Star Wars hit, and you know, that was it for me. That it was all over. But I've always sort of been a collector. I have a memory of being, I think I was around 7 or 8, and I had accumulated so much Mego, DC and Marvel product that I put it all on these two bookshelves in my room and called it the Batman Museum.
Oh, my gosh.
And charged kids like a quarter to come in and look at it, like the neighbor kids.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I just need to ask you if you could just back off your phone just a little bit.
Okay.
But I think the idea of charging the neighbor kids to look at your toys, that's genius. I mean,
that's
almost evil genius.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Let's fast forward to more recent history and Comic-Con. And for those of our listeners who may not know, and I can't imagine there's many, Comic-Con has become just a force in pop culture. But what I've been seeing and reading about it lately is that the entertainment industry, and specifically movies and television, are really taking a lot of attention away from the traditional kinds of things that were once the centerpiece of Comic-Con, action figures, comic books. Has that been your experience or observation?
Well, I think there's a certain amount of of that, but it's kind of a dovetailing too, because when you think about, you know, the highest grossing movie of last year was The Avengers.
Right.
You know, one of the biggest TV shows is Walking Dead. You know, it's they are using the comics as a springboard. Now, there's certainly some bizarre stuff that shows up at Comic-Con that feels really sort of tertiary and very vaguely linked. But for the most part, you know, walking around there, comics are still front and center at that place, and science fiction. You know, it doesn't just have to be comic books. You know, Lucas always has an enormous Star Wars booth with all the vendors that have something to do with that. There's still, you know, an artist alley where you can go and get sketches, signings. But yeah, you also have, like, you know, the Fox booth for Person of Interest. You know, when they have, like, the stars of that show come in and do a signing, and that's got some sci-fi elements of it, but you don't normally think of that as sort of comic booky necessarily.
When I think about it from a line extension marketing point of view, it makes perfect sense what the comic book companies have done with in terms of licensing of characters, and that the movie and production companies would leverage all of those things into marketing opportunities. From a business point of view, it makes a lot of sense. And frankly, from a collector pop culture point of view, I like it because I think it adds to the hobby and creates lots more opportunities for people like me to just geek out at all the new stuff that comes out as a result of demand.
Yeah, and, you know, at its root, I think a lot of people forget that the comic book industry has always sort of been one with a philosophy of strip mining stuff. You know,
yes.
Just that's why we have, you know, every single week there is a Spider-Man or a Batman title published. That's why, you know, when characters like Venom become really popular, that they switch over from villains to anti-heroes. It's just if people want to consume this stuff, by golly, the companies will find a way to get it to you.
It's true what you say about bad guys turning good. And I follow wrestling, and what we call that in wrestling is if you're a bad guy, you're a heel.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a good guy, you're a babyface. And when a bad guy turns good guy, it's called turning face. And
right.
It's the same kind of phenomenon in the comic book industry.
Absolutely.
So what did you see this year at Comic-Con that really stood out for you?
Well, one of the interesting things that's a trend that's happening is really the reemergence of retro. Now, there's some stuff that it has just been sort of evergreen, like Star Wars. It's really never gone away. But we're starting to see companies go back and really dip into the past and not just grab licenses that are, you know, from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, but to even go back to a retro style on things. You're starting to see some companies do things like in the style of the old Kenner Star Wars figures, like 5 points of articulation, sort of simpler sculpt, going back to the Mego days of, you know, those cloth costume bodies, and applying those to things that never got those treatments back in the day. And that's getting away a little bit from what we think of, you know, in the 90s, McFarlane came in and sort of changed everything to this hyper-realistic, you know, heavy paint deco, stylized sculpt, you know, 6-inch figure, and then, you know, Toy Biz came in and made everything super articulated, and now it seems like things are starting to swing back a little bit to the olden days,
right?
For us, you know, people in our 40s,
yeah, or older, and
yes.
I can I have a lot easier time relating to figures like that. And demographically, people who, I guess the baby boom generation, they're always looking to recreate their childhood. And I will be willing to bet that that has a lot to do with it, along with the fact that they've got money to spend.
Right, yeah.
So in terms of innovations or innovators, who, in your opinion, were the people, the companies, who should we, as collectors, who should we be following more closely?
Well, I'm always sort of the mind of collect what you love and not be so nutty with the speculation, because that's a very dangerous game. But, you know, there's always companies like Gentle Giant, have been the people on the forefront of that laser scanning technology. And they've been doing it for over 10 years, but they don't, you know, sort of rest on their laurels. That's not just their whole bag. You know, they've done some interesting things, like they've got an agreement now with Hasbro where they have laser scanned the original Star Wars figures from the 70s and 80s and blown them up to 12 inches. And they're re-releasing those, you know, on reproductions of, you know, cards and bubbles. And they're really interesting when you start seeing a bunch of them together. But also just, you know, their statue work. They're also just at Comic-Con, they announced there's that really rare 12-inch alien that Kenner put out from the original film.
Oh, sure.
And they're applying that same jumbo treatment to that. So they're making a 24-inch replica of that in that, you know, a replica of that vintage box. There's a company called Super 7 that were primarily known for sort of urban vinyl and T-shirts. And, you know, it's the same license. They went and Kenner was going to do a line of 4-inch figures, like in the Star Wars scale, of that original film. There were 5 characters, and there's only a handful of those prototypes that exist, maybe 2 or 3 of each character. And they have tracked down some of those prototypes, and what they couldn't get, they found someone to sculpt, you know, in exact detail those figures, and they are releasing them finally. You know, we've never got those. We've only seen them turn up in magazines. And they actually they did something kind of clever where they didn't have them ready for Comic-Con, so they put out an early bird kit exactly in the same style that Kenner did back in the 70s when the Star Wars figures weren't ready yet.
Oh, that's a good way to reach into your marketing tool chest.
Oh yeah,
that's encouraging.
Yeah,
and when. For any of these items, did you get any timing? Will they be out in the fall or later this summer?
So the Super 7 figures are supposed to start shipping in October. I don't know if they had a date yet on the Alien figure from Gentle Giant, but those are going to be distributed through Diamond through previews. Gentle Giant's jumbo Star Wars figures have been ongoing. I think they're about maybe 20 to 30 deep in that already. But then another company that has been really interesting to watch is a team called the Four Horsemen.
Mm-hmm.
And they were some guys, they were some sculptors and designers that came out of McFarlane. And they've been going, you know, probably about 12 years now. And they have been sculpting some of their own original lines, and also they've been sculpting things for Mattel. They've been sculpting all their DC 6-inch and their Masters of the Universe stuff. But they were working on some of their original properties, and they sculpted this series of, the original one was a Raven, and it's 6 inches tall, and it's like in armor. And then they did a series of 12 of them that are different birds. And they've been trying to get these things out for about 2 years, but just the cost of manufacturing and all that have just sort of been prohibitive. And so they put it up on Kickstarter, hoping that it would fund. They were looking for about $65,000 to get the first 6 of them going, 6 out of the 12. And then they had stretch goals where you could get all of them and, you know, all this other stuff. And they fired it up like the Friday before Comic-Con. And they hit their goal of the $65,000 in 57 hours. Which was shocking to everyone, including them.
Yeah.
And last time I looked at it, I think it was about 13,000. So I think like 10 of the 12 birds have been unlocked now. And it's just a real testimony of, if you make something cool enough, it doesn't have to be tied to some sort of media or property. People will still respond to it.
No, I think that's well said. It's it's the quality of the art that attracts people, and that's what attracts collectors to different types of things. So that's a good word. We're talking to David Pickett, who is also known as Julius Marks. He is one of the founders for Action Figure Insider, and we're talking about all things action figure. Let's shift gears for a moment, and let's talk about your website. There's a handful of you and your colleagues that run what is just a real encyclopedia of knowledge about the action figure industry, and you guys have appeared on some really important television shows. You've been in USA Today. You've been in Wired. I love that you've been on FARC.com because those guys are hilarious. Where did the idea of starting Action Figure Insider come from?
Well, I had been writing for a different site. Really, what it was born out of is when there were 2 years where I didn't collect anything. That was like my junior and senior year of high school. And then the 89 Batman came out, and followed by the Batman animated series.
Mm-hmm.
And they started making product for, you know, the film and the animated series and Star Trek The Next Generation. And there wasn't anywhere where I could go to find out about new releases. No one was really, like, searching that information out. There were magazines at the time that would release information on what was out, had just come out in stores. But I was always sort of wondering what I should be looking for. And I didn't find that anywhere. So I thought, well, why don't I do that? And I went to Comic-Con and just started talking to some of the toy makers that were there. And they started giving me scoops. And it just sort of built from there. So I've always been fascinated kind of by that behind the scenes, how things get done, why decisions are made, and just, you know, how do you get a license? What product you decide is made from that license? That sort of thing has always been fascinating to me. So that was always sort of the basis of Action Figure Insiders, really just finding out why things are.
Were you trained as a reporter?
No, I wasn't, actually. I was an actor at the time.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of people who don't appreciate how hard reporting and writing really are, and I've spent most of my adult life writing public relations, press releases, and advertising and direct mail. I think writing, whether it's for a blog or a script, is the hardest work you'll ever do. I could edit. If it weren't for a deadline, I'd still be editing my first direct mail piece.
Right.
Well, I respect your work so much, and I haven't explored every corner of the website yet, but I'm going to. And before we leave, tell us and tell the listeners how they can find you guys.
So certainly actionfigureinsider.com, that's our main hub. We just did a revamp right before Comic-Con where we rebuilt the site from the ground up. I didn't have much to do with that. I have a really talented team, so I just was able to point and say, that looks fantastic. But it was the hard work of a lot of other guys, Jason Geyer and Peter Goh and Dan Newman on the site did all of that. We're on Facebook under Action Figure Insider. Twitter is asinsider.com. And I also do a weekly pop culture podcast called Geek Shall Inherit, which you can also find through AFI or at geekshallinherit.com.
Brilliant. Well, it's so well done, and I've enjoyed looking at the site. I hope other folks find it as well. And Daniel Pickett, thank you so much for being on the Collector Show, and I hope you'll come back.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to.
Okay.
I'll always talk toys.
Oh, great. Stay tuned for a final word when we come back. That's going to do it for this week's edition of The Collector's Show, but I want you to be sure and come talk with us again next week. We're going to be chatting with a gentleman named Lawrence Zale. a man who has education, expertise, and knows how to not just evaluate collections, but is going to start teaching us how to collect and assemble meaningful and potentially valuable collections. But if I say too much more, you won't want to listen. So be sure to come back next week on the Collector's Show and meet Larry Zale. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye for now.